Hello and welcome to chapter 2 on Dataverse and Business Intelligence. The objective of this particular chapter is to ensure that you are understanding the concepts of Dataverse, business intelligence and analytics concepts, tools used in Dataverse, business intelligence and reporting, and insight to what is today termed as big data. So these are the items we'll be covering in this specific chapter. So let us understand first about what exactly is a data warehouse and what exactly is a need for a data warehouse. So by this time, all of you might have understood what exactly is the importance of data. So today, data is a major important thing that is being used by any organization, be it a bank or be it your Paytm or UPI transaction, whatever you are doing, or when you are talking about telephone connection, or when you are talking about Amazon, Facebook, all these particular companies are working based on the data that is being arrived, data that is being consolidated by them from various sources. So this chapter aims to provide a high level understanding of what is a data warehouse and what exactly is a need for a data warehouse and what is business intelligence and analytics, how are these important to your business in today's world, and what are the technologies involved, what it takes to implement a successful data warehouse project and its challenges and risks. So these are things we'll be covering in this particular chapter. At the same time, a successful enterprise data warehouse requires key business analysts who can accurately guide and leverage the technology's capabilities to give business the right information at the right time, because a data warehouse in any form is just a large collection of data that needs extensive cleaning and analysis to create the reports. So it doesn't mean that I'm having the data, doesn't mean that I'm having all the information. The information is different and data which I'm having is different. So the purpose of data warehouse or the purpose of a data warehouse analyst, business analyst, is to ensure that the data is converted into meaningful information. So that is where the purpose of the business analyst is be there. And for the business analyst to do the activity of accurately identifying the data and ensuring to convert this into a proper intelligent format, as an information, he requires some certain tools in the system, and so certain systems in the system, systems he has to have. So this is what we are, is nothing but data warehouse about. And data warehouse integrates data from multiple data sources or collection of data from various sources. So the purpose of data warehouse is to collect data and convert this into meaningful information. For example, pending invoices would be seen differently by a sales guy and business receivable department and senior management are there for different cuts to resource utilization in IT services industry. So when we talk about the pending invoices, the data is same, but the way it has to be presented to multiple people is going to be different. For a sales guy, it has a different meaning and he requires a different information on the pending invoice. For the senior management, he requires a different information on the same, different data and different information on the same data. How it is going to be converted and given into them, and how it is the intelligence is going to be done for this particular presenting of data, is called as a business intelligence. Historical data is kept in a data warehouse is time variant. Okay, so based on the time, the data warehouse is going to be there and history is going to be maintained in data warehouse. The data in a data warehouse is always permanent or non-volatile. One fundamental principle of data warehouse is that the historical data in a data warehouse should never be altered. So this is a major thing that has to be taken when you are going to do the data warehouse deployment. There should not be any update. There should be no update on the historical data. So if it is getting altered, the entire data is going to go for a toss and you will not be in a position to get a meaningful data out of the entire thing. So when we are, before jumping into data warehouse, let us understand what is the architecture that is being used in the data warehouse system. It has differed widely with different structures and operational data stores. Okay, when we say operational data source, it is going to be a single point, single value, single database, which has all the values. So this particular thing, there are some other ways in which the people are, organizations are doing based on the capacity, based on the large, medium, small organization. So the small organization or medium organization, they have multiple data bars instead of a big operational data stores. Well, some data warehouses have fewer number of data sources and others may have many dozens of data sources. So when we talk about data source, it is from where you are going to get the data. And data stores are the place where the data warehousing is storing the data. The architecture is always a function of the size of an organization. It varies lines of business, the IT architecture and complexity of its software systems. So based on the industry, based on the lines of business, based on the type of organization, size of the organization, the IT architecture and the complexity of its software differs. All larger organizations have multiple data warehouses. Okay, so one data warehouse may not be enough for large organizations. They may have multiple data warehouses, which is being used for collecting the data from multiple systems, and the massaging of the data happens in different data warehouses. There was an attempt to have what was termed as enterprise data warehouse, but still they are not in a position to provide the data that is required for high this thing due to the huge volume. So to cater to the demands of various business of the organizations, this is not in a position to, the enterprise data warehouse, which is a huge data warehouse, is not in a position to handle this kind of thing. Irrespective of whichever is the organization, whichever is the vendor, this particular thing is still not in a position to achieve. So let us see what are the concepts and what are the different ingredients for a data warehouse. In general, all data warehouse systems have the following layers. These are the different layers that are there in a data warehouse. Namely, data source layer, data extraction layer, staging area, ETL layer, extract, transform, and load layer, data storage layer, data logic layer, data presentation layer, metadata layer, and system operations layer. These are the different layers that are there in a data warehouse. Data source layer is the place from where it collects the data, from sources. Extraction, so it has collected the data, and from here data sources is the place where it is data is there. From there it extracts the data. When it is extracting the data, it cannot directly push into the respective tables of data warehouse. So there is a place where staging area is there, where the data is residing there until ETL. ETL extract, data will be extracted from here. Transform, if it has to do an update, it has to change as per whatever is required into multiple databases of multiple tables of data warehouse. Transform will do this activity. And load, it will just insert the data into the respective tables of data warehouse. Data storage layer, this is where the data is getting stored. Data logic layer, now the data is stored. How it is going to be utilized, how it is going to be used, how the data is going to be taken meaningfully, that is what the data logic layer will do. So a single data is going to be going into multiple tables based on the requirement, based on the department, it is going to multiple tables. From there, the data will be fetched to have a meaningful presentation to the user, that is data presentation layer. Metadata layer is the place where the entire thing is getting stored at the end. System operations layer is the place where your monitoring and maintenance people can do the system operations activities. So let us have a look at each and every layer which we had discussed earlier. Data source layer is the place obviously represent different data sources that feed data into the data warehouse. The data may be of different types, which itself constitutes different sources such as below, and all these data sources together form the data source layer. So this is the place from where it picks up, it fetches the data. Some types of sources are market research data generated by the company's internal department. So each department is having multiple market data. This market research data is again combined, consolidated and shared with the data warehouse. This is the data source layer which we are talking about. Operations data from sales department, inventory data, marketing and product data, systems data, web server logs, and with user browsing data and HR data. So this is another example of data source. Third party data such as from surveys or demographics data. or it can be from website or websites also. It can connect to the website and get the data and store that in the respective database. This is what we call it as web server logs of browsing data. So example, this is one of the examples. So it's like you are going and logging into Amazon and trying to purchase something. System fetches this particular, picks up this particular thing, and it knows that you are interested in this particular thing. So the data is it fed with this data, and accordingly the Amazon can get taken output and try to focus on the respective marketing from there. Data extraction layer is the layer where data gets pulled from the data source into the data warehousing system with some data cleansing, though without any major data transformation. So slight cleansing is happening, and data is extracted and pulled from the data source and into the data warehouse system. Staging area is where the data sits prior to being cleansed and transformed into a data warehouse or data mart quality. This common staging area makes it easier for subsequent data processing and integration. So what happens here is that the data will be almost similar to from where the data is getting fetched, that from where data is getting sourced. From the staging area will be almost similar to from where it has been picked up. So not much changes will be there in the data. Next comes the ETL layer. This is where the data gains its intelligence. What we have discussed, how to identify how to give a meaningful or intelligent reports to the respective departments. This is where the entire thing happens, entire work happens. This is where the logic is supplied to transform the data from a transactional nature to an analytical nature. Say data is getting converted into analytical nature. It is also in this stage that the actual data cleansing and transformation is done. So extract, transform, and load. Data storage layer is the final stage for the cleansed and transformed data. No data is erased or changed once it is moved into this database. So this is where this data is getting stored. From here, it is after this particular point, this data cannot be erased or changed. Typically, three types of entities may be found here. One is data source, data warehouse, data mart, and operational data store. So data warehouse is the huge kind of, you can say, ocean, it will be there. Data mart is part of the data warehouse for a specific department in the entire organization. Operational data store is the place from where the operations or the new data is getting going to be fetched or going to be arrived at. Data logic layer is where business rules are stored. The business rules do not affect the underlying data transformation rules, but do affect what the report looks like. This is where that data is getting transformed, data is getting converted into the business rules as per the requirement. Data presentation layer or other reporting tools are used here, and this layer gives shape to the form in which information is presented to the user, such as the tabular or graphical or in browser, email report or alerts, etc., etc. Whatever may be the way in which the data has been presented, this is where the entire programming is being done so that the data is getting presented in a proper manner. This is where the periodicity of generation is also getting captured, getting stored, and accordingly the data is getting presented to the end user. Next comes the metadata layer, where the data is about information stored in the data warehousing system. This is where the entire data is getting stored in the data warehousing system. For example, the number of tables in the database is a type of metadata. A logical data model would be an example of what is in the metadata layer. There are many metadata tools used to manage metadata. So now the data is getting stored in the metadata, and this will be nothing but tables in the specific format required for the system to fetch the data outside the database. System operations layer. This includes information on how the data warehouse system operates, such as ETL job status, access history, system performance, and monitoring data. This will be there in the systems operations layer. So let us see what are the different components involved in a data warehouse. So data warehouse and business intelligence have grounding in very strong technologies, and most of these are very niche. Data warehouse and business intelligence itself in a niche space, with most people having low knowledge of this space and its techno domain concepts. Unfortunately, still the knowledge of the data warehouse is very minimal for the people who are working on data warehousing also. and it is having techno domain concepts, or the way in which the data can be utilized, used. Okay, this is where still it is undergoing a lot of changes, and people are getting more and more knowledge on the coming days. One of the best ways to get into such a space at a high level is to understand the concepts and terminologies and technologies drive it. So, if someone has to enter into Dataverse, it is need for them to understand at a very high level and to a minute part how exactly the concepts and terminologies are used in this particular thing, and how exactly Dataverse is growing across the entire industry. In this section, we are going to entire gamut of Dataverse, business intelligence. We are going to discuss about, and what are the concepts we are going to discuss about. And at the end, you will be in a position to understand and you will be able to understand the discussion we are going to have in this entire data warehousing chapter. One of the major things we are going to discuss is the data integrity. This refers to the validity of data. Data is consistent and correct. So, without the proper data, there is no point in having the data warehousing and doing the entire business intelligence product itself. So, you might have heard about the oldest adages of information technology is garbage in, garbage out. Means that if the data has been fed wrongly, you are not having a proper data that has been put in the system, irrespective of whichever excellent system you are having or costly system you are having, you are going to have a invalid or report that is cannot be used and which will be far away from the reality that is going to happen, that is going to be there. So, garbage in, garbage out means that the data that has been input in the system should be proper for you to get a proper data outside. So, reports coming out of data warehousing are useless if the data warehousing data lacks data integrity. So, major thing in data integrity when we talk about is that the source to data warehousing system, the data should not be modified, manipulated, point one. Point two is that the data that has been input in the system at the data source should be validated properly, should be with the actual values, and proper data has to be collected. So, wherever it has to be, it is possible, the code has to be codes has to be used instead of actual values. For example, when you are talking about the country name can be written in different ways. United States of America can be written, or United States, USA can be written, or just you can mention as America. But you can write in any kind of case. Like some person can be writing entire thing in capital letters, some person will be writing in a special values. Instead of this particular thing, if it is in a code, say instead of USA or United States of America, I'm just going to mention 05 means that it is United States of America, then there is a uniqueness in the value that is going to be captured. So this is where the person architect or the business analyst has to think of and understand where are the places where from where they are going to get the meaningful value. Can this be used with a code instead of the values? Okay, this is an exercise that has to be done by the business analyst when they are doing a system study. In a data warehouse or data mart, there are three areas where data integrity needs to be enforced: database level, ETL process, and the access process. At the ETL level, data integrity checks should ensure that source and destination data are the same. So, data integrity, you always have to consider the source and destination check has to be integrity has to check or validate whether both the values are same. Because in the ETL process, there is a possibility that you are changing some values, some actual values, proper values to your meaningless data when you are going to send it to the destination data. So, here you should have a proper checks in place so that you are ensuring that the whatever you are going to have here in the input data and output are proper. Means that from staging data, there should be a check from the data source to staging data, from staging data to data warehouse table. This is where you have to have the data integrity check. We also need to ensure that the data is not altered by any unauthorized means, either by during the ETL process or in the data warehouse access level controls. So this is where access level controls are very important, so that there is no people are not inadvertently updating the data in the data warehouse system. So, some of the key components includes conceptual data model, identifies the highest level relationships between the different entities. So in conceptual data model, what they do is that what is the highest level relationship between different entities. Say for example, your customer and the account which are going to have a specific customer, multiple accounts which the customer is going to have. What is highest level relationship where they can reach, and from there you can do a drill down to the lowest part, minute part. Features of conceptual data model include the important entities and the relationships among them. No attribute is specified. Here relationships means the data relationship between multiple things, not a relationship of individual customers. No primary key is specified. The only information shown via the conceptual data model is the entities that describe the data and the relationship between these entities. So the entities relationship has to be maintained in some other specific part in the entire data model so that you can have the meaningful output. Physical data model represents how the model will be built in the database. So when you are doing an implementation of a data warehouse, you will be looking at how you can do a business data, physical data model. You have to be represented in a proper model, and accordingly the database has to be built. Features of a business data model include specification, all tables and columns, which are the tables you are going to use, what is the column that going to be there, what is going to be the data that is going to be stored in this particular thing, means nothing but the rows that are going to be inserted into the table. And how the column is going to be maintained, okay, what are the columns you require for a specific report. Foreign keys are used to identify relationship between two tables. It could be a transaction table, it could be a master table, and the foreign key of a transaction table will be the customer, the parent table called link. Denormalization may occur based on user information requirement. So based on user requirement, this normalization can be done on this particular thing, and denormalization can also happen for these particular tables. Physical consideration may cause a physical data model to be quite different from the logical data model. So physical data model will be different for different RDBMS. So based on the RDBMS, Oracle or MySQL or SQL, based on this particular thing, physical data model may be different for each of the data mart or whichever you are going to use. For example, data type for a column may be different between MySQL and SQL Server. Like we are saying, based on the constraints in the respective database or RDBMS, this data type for a column may differ. Having defined the three data models, let us for a better understanding compare how conceptual, logical and physical data models differ from each other. So let us have a look at these three models on how it is going to be different on in the way. The conceptual data model is written just so as to understand and conceptualize at high level the different entities in the data and how they relate to one another. So conceptual data model is written so that it can be understood at conceptual at a high level, and whereas the physical data model is where the exact details are getting stored of the data model to be implemented in the database of choice or defined. So conceptual is high level, the physical data model is at the lower level. Data mart. So let us look at what is a data mart. Data mart are small sizes of the data warehouse. So it is a subset of what you are going to have as a data warehouse. It's a simple form of a data warehouse that is focused on a single object or functional area such as sales, finance or marketing. So you can say data is going to be same, but for sales I'm going to have a different data mart, for finance I'm going to have a different data mart, for marketing I'm going to have a different data mart. Let us go to the same example we are discussing earlier, pending invoices. Like we are mentioning that sales is going to look at this invoice in a different way, finance is going to look at a different way, market is going to have a look at a different way, and the top management is going to have a look at this in a different way. So what will happen is that data mart for sales will be different, finance will be different, and marketing will be different, and the same data source which we had will be converted into respective ways inside sales data mart, finance data mart, and marketing data mart. It has to deal with fewer data sources than the data warehousing handles. The sources could be internal operation systems, a central data warehouse, or external data. The primary difference between data warehouse and data mart is that the data warehouse is a corporate entity, whereas data pertains a little line of business. Like we are saying, it could take from different data source also than the data warehousing, but conceptually it is for a smaller business than a larger entity. So let us see. Transaction applications, operational database, which is converted to data warehouse population application, and data warehouse comes here. From here, data warehouse populates the value. Data warehouse population applications are happening. From here, from data warehouse, it picks up and makes the data smart. Each and every department will have a different data mart. From where the business intelligence applications will happen. Data marts are usually much smaller than a data warehousing, combines data from database across the enterprise. The data in a data mart is accessed using a business application, intelligence application, BAE systems. There are two basic types of data marts. Dependent data marts draw data from a central data warehouse that has already been created. So it is again like it is a subset that has been created from data warehouse and it will be populated here. The other way is independent data marts, in contrast, are standalone systems built by drawing data directly from operational external sources of data, or both, and hence the ETL process that involves moving data from operational systems, filtering it and loading it into the data mart is far more intensive. So there are cases where they require direct data from the in the respective system instead of taking from data warehouse, and there could be a possibility that they require a pure data instead of doing an configured data which you are going to get from the data warehouse, due to which they may require this particular thing also. Fact table, a table that stores quantitative information for analysis and is often in denormalized form. It consists of the facts or metrics of a business process, like just now you are mentioning on this particular thing only. So you denormalize the form in which now you are going to have the facts instead of the changes that has happened in the data warehouse will be fact table. It is a central table in a star schema of a data warehouse. A fact table typically includes two types of columns, fact columns and foreign keys to the dimensions. The key aspect that the business analyst or the business user must know and consider in the design is the granularity of the fact table, that is the lowest level of information to be stored, which dimensions to be included, and hierarchy of each dimension data. This is what will be stored in the fact table. There are also what are known as factless fact tables, which are fact tables without any fact. It may sound ridiculous, yet true. This just means that a table does not have any metrics. So factless fact tables literally means that you are not having a proper metrics or is not available for these factless fact tables, and is required also in the entire data warehousing system. Dimensional model. Dimensional model is used for creating summary information for summary information. For example, summarization of sales by day, week, month and year or by region. So in fact model we are having all the data from there. When we are coming to dimensional model, we are having this used for creating summary information, namely if it could be a sales by a specific day or week or month or year or by regions also. There are multiple dimensions models you can have it. Dimensions provide structured labeling, and attribute represents a single type of information in a dimension. So like you might have seen any matrix that is going to happen. So dimension data model is literally a matrix kind of thing only, with multiple dimensions that can be there. It could be a cuboid, it could be a cube, based on how many number of ways in which you want to populate the data. Dimensional data model is a data model commonly used in OLTP systems, which is nothing but online transaction processing systems. So in these cases, the data for these getting commonly used. In a dimensional model, there are two types of tables, fact tables and dimension tables. Dimension table stores the records related to a particular dimension. No facts are stored in a dimensional table. So from fact tables, the data is getting picked up and it is getting stored in the dimensional tables. Confirmed dimension is a dimension that has exactly the same meaning and content when being referred to in different fact tables. So this one confirmed dimension is a dimension that has exactly the, so it has the same meaning and content of confirmed dimension. So this is how a dimensional model looks like. This is a cube view which we are seeing. If you can see, one place we are seeing time, other place you are seeing market, third place you are having product. Based on the product and the market and time, the data is getting displayed in this particular dimensional model. This figure below is a cube view of the dimensional data model of a company that has product, time and market as dimensions. A dimensional database may be thought of as a database cube with 3 or 4 dimensions, and maybe in some cases it can be more also, that enable the users to take a slice of the database on any dimension. So a single database and single data is getting sliced into multiple parts based on the requirement of the specific department, sales or marketing. These two schematics above should give you a fairly simplistic understanding of how data is organized in a data warehouse spread to produce the reports that you require. Dimensional data modeling typically involves one or more fact tables and a dimension table. So two or more than one or more fact tables are being taken, and from there the multiple dimension tables are getting arrived, and that is getting displayed in the model which we have seen earlier. Then there is a problem of slowly changing dimension, a common issue facing data warehousing practitioners. A standard example of customers who change their locality frequently. So if the location, if a specific customer is getting changing the location from one place to other place, automatically the value also is going to change in the dimension. This is what is called a slowly changing dimension. In designing data or data models, there are two typical approaches. One is star schema and the other one is snowflake schemas. Next comes aggregation. Aggregation is a summary of detailed data that is stored with or referred to by a cube. So now we are seeing a cube, how we are seeing how the data is getting stored there. From there, we are going to arrive at a summary. They are the basis for fast response to data queries and OLAP applications. So from here, so we'll be in a position to understand and give you analytical processing report applications. This is a way in which they will be in a position to get the fast response from the system and give an output to the end users. An aggregation is possible at each intersection of a level of one or more dimensions. So for each dimension, like what we have seen earlier, the aggregation is possible at the time or market or the product, based on which they can do an aggregation, and this aggregation is getting stored in the OLAP data warehouse so that the OLAP applications can provide the data in a fast manner. So the summation will not be happening at the time of runtime, but it will be already there and it will be kept and already taken in the system and kept as a backend operation. The data will be summarized, summed based on the dimensions which you have seen earlier, and it will be stored as aggregate data. And any combination of dimension levels can become a stored aggregation as long as it is appropriate within the defined hierarchies. It is one way of speeding up query performance. So as a result, when you are going to do the summary or when you are going to do an aggregation, it will not do a calculation at the particular point of time. It will not do a summation at the point of time. So query will be very fast, you will be getting an output. That is the purpose of a data warehousing itself. So the entire data can be sliced into multiple pieces so that they can be aggregated in a different way. Facts are summed up for selected dimensions from the original fact table. The resulting aggregate table will have fewer rows, thus making queries that can use them go faster. Say, for example, for the purpose of business or for the purpose of market or for the purpose of product, and based on the time, the data will be stored as different rows. So you can say around 1 crore data is aggregated into, say, list of around 10 or 15 based on the products which you are going to have. Next comes the ETL. Extraction, transformation and loading. Let us see what exactly we are doing, data warehousing is doing an ETL process. ETL is a process to extract data from different types of systems, transform it into structure that is more appropriate for reporting and analysis, and finally loads it into the database and or cubes. So the database is getting stored with the respective data and the report is getting stored in the data, proper data. And ETL runs on the main resource, a data source, and from there it be, system from staging area it picks up, and ETL runs and it is getting stored in the data warehouse system. There are 3 database functions combined into one tool to pull data out of a database and place it into another database after doing some massaging of the data. In lay terminology, it is a movement of data from one area to another, the data staging area to this data storage area. In the process of extracting, data from different source systems is converted into one consolidated data warehouse format, which is ready for transformation processing. So the data is taken and stored in their respective table, and from this, it is what is called as an extraction. The transformation process may involve the following: cleaning, mapping null to zero, like you are saying, garbage in, garbage out. Here is where the cleansing of the data is happening. If there is invalid data is there, it will be removed from the database. Filtering by selecting only certain columns to load, and again, we will not take the entire columns. Based on the condition, we will take some specific columns from this particular table. Say table is having around 200 columns. Out of these 200 columns, for the purpose of data processing, I require only 10 columns. So the 10 columns will be taken from here. Splitting a column into multiple columns and vice versa. So for a specific table, it can have only one value. For another table, it can have multiple other value. Like this, it will be split into multiple columns and multiple data. Joining together data from multiple sources, transposing rows and columns, applying any kind of simple or complex data validation will be happening here. Cleansing will happen and transposing rows and columns will happen. Rows can be converted into columns, or columns can be converted into rows. These kind of things will happen at the time of transformation. Lastly, loading the data into data warehousing or data repository, other reporting applications. So from here, the data is getting cleansed data, or this corrected data will be loaded into data warehousing applications. OLAP is one more important thing, online analytic process. This application or this process provides end users a quick way of slicing and dicing the data. As data is arrived, now it has to be sliced and diced. OLAP performs multi-dimensional analysis of business data and provides the capability for complex calculations, trend analysis, and sophisticated data modeling, and enables a user to easily and selectively extract and view data from different points of view. So through a OLAP, user will be in a position to slice the entire data and give a trend analysis on the data that has been arrived at.